This time to the 40th chapter of Genesis. Chapter 40 of Genesis. And this morning we're going to look at a subject that might hurt a little bit. Well, I know it will hurt a little bit. How many of you know when God makes corrections, it always hurts a little bit? Are you there? I said, if God makes correction, it hurts a little. It didn't hurt yet, so you still can say amen to that. This morning we're going to look at Joseph, how God is preparing him for rulership, but in a way which he would have never chosen. He is ending up, obviously we know, in prison. We know that Joseph was put in charge of the other prisoners to kind of minister to them and help them. And God placed him there under severe circumstances to minister because he wanted him to shine the light of God in a dark dungeon. And so you're going to learn this morning the command. It's the 11th command. Thou shalt not be a dimmer switch. Okay. So in other words, there are ways we can do things for God where we actually turn the light down, rather than letting it shine brightly. And Joseph is a wonderful example of never touching that dimmer switch. He always wanted to shine very brightly because he knew that God put him there for a reason. And what I want to focus this morning on is not the dreams these two guys, these prisoners had and came to Joseph and were so unhappy that they couldn't get the interpretation. But I want to look at Joseph's attitude. And then we're going to look at your attitude. Now that's the one that hurts, correct? How many of you have always a good attitude? Let me see. Okay, I have no. Oh, I have one guy. Okay. I'm going to talk with you afterwards. I ask you a few questions this morning, and sooner or later you're going to have to give me agree or disagree. But right now I ask you, is there anyone in here, I may miss some of you, is there anyone in here who loves to work for a boss who every day has a bad attitude? Let me see your hands. So if you don't want to work for somebody who has always a bad attitude, why do you think God should put you in leadership and give you all the things he has prepared for you when he has not worked yet on your attitude? So in other words, he will work on it. Because none of us, when we're honest, likes to be around people with a bad attitude. Even sometimes we would like to hide from ourselves. Ever had that? You say, man, I don't know why I have a bad attitude, but I do have a stinking attitude and I don't like it. And so we learn from Joseph that these things are actually designed by God. Believe me, even your bad attitude is designed by God in such a way that he lets you have it so that he can train you to change. If when you came to the Lord, you will be absolutely perfect. I know positionally that's true, but how many of you know effectively in the walk of life it's not true? And if that would be true, why would God still train us for leadership if we're already perfect? And I know some of you look to your spouse and say, I told you I'm perfect. But it's not the case. Well, one guy's going to get no lunch today, I know that for sure. It's not going to be me. I told my wife, I said this week, when I look at Joseph chapter 40 of Genesis, I said, I have to deal about attitudes. And she said, have you looked at yours? I said, I go right away and pray for you. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We kind of set the stage here because this is such an important message for all of us to know. Here is Paul. By the way, Paul wrote a lot of epistles when he was in prison. All of you know that, correct? We know them as prison epistles. How many of you would have to say they should be all negative epistles? Because he's in prison, why should they be positive? I mean, we would write, please put the bail down so we can get out of here. Please do something for me. I'm such a miserable creature in here. Not so Paul. Look what Paul said to the church at Philippi in verse 14, chapter 2. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. I took out the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is simply the King James Version with amplification to it so we understand. And I read it to you. I wrote it down for you, I think. No, I read it to you. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. Well, that's a good interpretation. That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God without blemish, without fault, or unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly into the dark world. End of quote. In other words, what Paul is saying, that we have to be lights. God placed us as lights. And if our attitude is a complaining attitude, we kind of dim that light. And obviously, we brightly shine, so we need to change our attitude. Years ago, I came across a Bible study. It was a small group Bible study, and the title was, Please, God, Change My Attitude. I thought, that's a great book, great study. I went through it, and it was put together by James McDonald and one of the ladies who did all the compiling by the name of Barb Pale. And I opened it up again, I came across some questions which you can agree or disagree. So I'm going to do a little test with you. I thought I'm going to do a little test with you, okay? So I want to see no elbows, no eyes moving, just you and God. You can say, I disagree with that statement, or I agree with that statement. That's all I want to know. Okay? And so when you agree, you go, pfft. Let's try the ones. Okay. What I just said so far, do you agree? Man, I stopped preaching. Let's do that one with that. Let's all raise our hands. Let's see. Lord, I had to give him a command. You have a bad attitude. Okay, here we go. We got it. So when you agree, you go boom. When you disagree, you go down. Okay. Here we shoot the first one. Let's read it. Do we have it up there? Yeah, the first one. Complaining drains your energy and affects your outlook on life. Agree? Did they pass and test, Lord? Complaining moves you forward in decisive decision making. Why do you do it? Okay. You didn't see that one coming, huh? It's easier to complain than to decide what to do and then do it. How many of you would agree with that statement? Absolutely. It's another one I found. Complaining is a good way to let your dissatisfaction be heard. Okay. I knew it's going to come. It's just a matter of time. I knew. Okay, God will work on you today. Here's one. Complaining feels good. Oh, absolutely does sometimes, but you can disagree, okay. I know you guys are getting careful now. I have a few more. Complaining is a way of avoiding taking action. Wow. That can hit us badly, can it? And there's sometimes a situation merits complaints. I didn't say right or wrong. I said, do you agree or disagree? That's all I want to. Here is another one. Complaining keeps you from doing anything positive. Okay. I think that will do, amen. That's enough. In other words, you can see, we can see all of us in one way or the other in one of those statements, correct? We agree that that is the right thing to do when we do it and disagree when we don't do it. But we know better. We do know better. And so we just want to make sure that we can summarize it. Complaining people are actually unhappy people. At that moment. Why? There are two things why complaining makes us unhappy. Do you know complaining hurts yourself? It hurts you more than anybody else. Because God says not to complain. We just said it. Don't murmur and complain. And why does God say not to complain? Because God says no, because he doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. That's why. You all agree that God wants the best for you and me, correct? So when we're on a path of hurting ourselves, God says, don't do that. Because he doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. People who normally do not want to be corrected when they're constantly complaining, how many of you recognize this a spiral downwards where we become unhappier and unhappier? First, it maybe just was a spouse we're unhappy about it. Then the kids can do nothing right. Then the boss can do nothing right. Then all of a sudden my associates at work can do nothing. Eventually, the whole world stinks. I read once a little story in a book long time ago that two grandkids visited the camp daddy. And they were, you know, camp daddy always sat in his chair, in his favorite chair, snoring. And so the kids thought, we're going to pull one on him. So they took some cheese out of the refrigerator that really stinks. And they massaged the cheese into camp daddy's mustache. And he kept on snoring. He went, right on. So the kids disappeared. So when he woke up, he goes, something stinks. So he got up from his chair. He went in all the rooms in the house, and in every room he went, it stinks. It stinks in here. And the kids obviously had fun with him. And then one of the kids finally said, can't that? You stink. He goes, what? They did not recognize that he carried that stench with him wherever we go. And I was thinking about that story. Sometimes our bad attitude, we carry with us wherever we go, it kind of stinks. Doesn't matter what people do around us, good or bad, it's just it's not right. So, next time you think it's Swiss cheese, just forget about it. And if you don't wear a mustache, you're safe. I see a lot of men who have trouble. A second thing what you're going to do is when you have a bad attitude and complaining, you're hurting other people. You do. How many of you have ever felt like when you meet certain people, they poison your good attitude? They just have kind of, it feels like I came positive into a meeting, and by the time I left, I feel like, what in the world happened to me? It's kind of somebody wraps you around their poison. And you and I have to guard against it. It's a battle. Because when we are in what we are the one, then we poison others. If others are the ones, they poison us, if you're not careful. So we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting others. Everybody gets hurt. And why do we do that? How many of you would agree with me, if everybody would have a good attitude all the time, this would be a happy world? It would be a phenomenal world. Obviously, it's not happening because it's not reality. Because circumstances can change in our life and can turn us from a negative person into a positive, or the other way around. Can happen just like this. Joseph is in prison ministering to people who are complaining. I don't know how well he knew them. But they came to Joseph and said, Joseph. Well, he asked him first what's going on. He said, we had a dream and nobody can interpret it. The way the Bible says that in the original Hebrew, it's not exactly that way. The meaning is that they knew the interpretation, but they didn't like the interpretation. That's a deep meaning behind that Hebrew word there, interpreting. So somehow God gave them the dream, and in the dream they understood what their future holds for them. Obviously, one guy liked it, the other guy did not like it. The guy who liked the interpretation probably got poisoned by the guy who did not like his. And he second-guessed his and thinks, well, I may interpret my one wrong. And so when Joseph walks into the cell and he sees them so unhappy, he says, what's going on? And Joseph wanted to help. And this is where I want to focus on you this morning. We as Christians, we are representing God. We have to be the light of the world. When we enter into those worldly situations where people, for whatever reason, are not happy, we should not join them in their unhappiness, but minister to them in a different way with a godly attitude. That means we bring the light into a dark situation. Don't go and preach to them, but God says in the fifth commandment, thou shalt not. That's not the way we minister. We bring the light into a situation where people are frustrated and have a bad attitude, and it is amazing what your good attitude and that light of God can do in a very brief period of time. It's all up to you and me how we do it. And Joseph is such a wonderful example because he did manage the prison, remember? And somehow Joseph refused to touch the dimmer switch. He refused to let his light get dimmer and dimmer through a bad situation. He could have joined these two guys and say, you know, guys, you have nothing to complain. Yours is only a dream. My is reality. I experience nightmares. I'm in here undeserved. You deserve. What are you complaining about it? But how many of you know such kind of reaction would not have solved anything for these two? So now I can stop right there and say to you, sometimes when we see a friend or a neighbor hurting, don't preach to him. It doesn't do no good. How many of you know a person with a bad attitude is not receptive to the word of God? It's impossible. So we may as well preach to all. The only way that we can change it is by not getting down to that level of the complaining. That means we would have to turn down the dimmer switch, correct? We don't want to go there. And we're going to bring the light into this situation by acting the way God wants us to act. And it is amazing. There are only two options for the person with the bad attitude. Either he changes his attitude, that's what we're actually after, or he's going to feel uncomfortable around you. Because light will make the darkness uncomfortable. It penetrates it. So I give you this morning two little lessons that helped Joseph to act the way he did. And hopefully that helps us to see it too. The first thing, Joseph saw possibilities. When you and I have good attitudes, how many of you know you are more creative than ever? How many of you would agree with that? When you have negative feelings, negative attitudes, you don't have any creativity anymore. Everything is against you. No possibilities of making a positive impact. And let me please let you know, I'm not talking about possibility thinking, which is from the pit of hell. I'm talking about seeing possibilities to glorify God. That's entirely different. One of them is a mind exercise, which comes out of Eastern mysticism, which is demonically inspired. The other one is heart condition, which God is in charge. And if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit sits there. And he wants to bring you into the Word of God so that the light shines each day a little bit brighter. So it's from the heart. We don't want light from the mind. We want light from the heart that comes as a channel from the Holy Spirit into a dark world. That's an entirely different thing. So when I'm talking about seeing possibilities, I'm seeing looking at things with a positive attitude and letting the Holy Spirit use you. Get that? Get that?
Yes.
Okay, be once charismatic for a second, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, good, thank you. Joseph could have said, these guys don't understand my circumstances. I myself am down in the pit. And I think I'm going to let them have my peace of mind. What do they think? And by the way, I'm in charge of the prison. He could have let his own negative circumstances dictating the way he's ministering to them. But praise God, Joseph did not do that. His circumstances were put in the background at the moment because he saw possibilities to make a difference in these two people's lives. And this is where you and I have to ask God to help us. Because Negative, complaining attitudes will always dim the light. And we don't see possibilities. Or we see possibilities, but they're negative. I remember when we started the new worship center. Oh, Pastor, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen because you're going to go broke on this. Well, it's God's business. God never goes broke. How many of you know that? God never goes broke. Amen. You may do. That's because you did go against what God wanted you to do. But God never goes broke. Do you think this project is going to be finished?
Yes.
Sure. I never ask you for money yet, but if this thing is going to fall behind, you better open your wallet. Not yet. So, no, it will all get done. You guys got so quiet. Your attitude changed. That was just a test. It was just a test. I don't want you to just hear the message. I want you to get into it to learn how important it is how we react to messages, to words. I just tested you. Joseph heard some bad things, and his attitude did not change. Paul was in prison when he wrote these beautiful words, do all things without murmuring and complaining and disputing. And yet he was not in good shape. And I think that's where we need to learn that some of the most incredible challenges for you and me, where God is shaping the way we think and the way our attitude is during tough times. Some of the greatest gifts God has given to the church have been developed through hard times. If you ever have read anything next to the Bible, you should have read Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. For those of you who may not know the background, John Bunyan was in a dungeon because he stood up for God's word. He could have moaned and groaned and have a bad attitude, and you and I would never have been blessed with some of the greatest book written next to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress. But because he had a good attitude and knew God had a place for him, God gave him a vision. And he wrote it in a book. And he teaches us that there is a spiritual battle going on. And we can join the enemy or we can join God. We can be losers or we can be winners. And Bunyan decided that he's going to be a winner. Listen, you think your attitude only affects people today? You are greatly mistaken. Joseph's attitude still impacts you and me today. John Bunyan's attitude still 400 years later impacts you and me. It gives us courage when the going gets tough. When we get under heavy attack, we can say, if he could endure that and come out good, you and I can endure that and we come out good. There is no reason to take that battle into your own hands. We sang this morning, whom shall I fear? Remember? Or you already have a bad attitude about it. We sang that song because God is with me. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. And with such a confidence and such a promise, how can we not have a positive, good attitude what God can do to us? Possibilities. You're in tough circumstances? Consider that to be a blessing from God for greater possibilities. The way you react to these difficulties, you will preach louder to your neighbors than opening up the Bible. And please, I'm not going to tell you not to open the Bible. You know me. There's no other book on this planet who will help us more than opening this book. But the neighbor you want to shine the light brightly to, he's not interested in your book. But if you go to difficult circumstances, and all of us, one time or the other, we will. You may right now be on the good. And next time, how many of you know that pendulum can swing in a hurry? You can get up one morning and everything is going so well and you think, wow, I'm God's favorite today. And tomorrow, you think the devil got a hold of you because circumstances can change. But the way your attitude is, will preach to everybody watching you. And so you can keep the light on or you can dim it down. And I challenge you not to dim it down. That's my challenge to all of you. Never ever touch that dimmer switch. Look at it as possibilities which you could not get any other way. Remember, always remember, God is training his children for what? For leadership. And you told me in your own words this morning that you do not like to be under a boss who has always a bad attitude. God knows that. And so he's going to make you one day a ruler with a good attitude. And he's constantly put you into situations where you have an opportunity to dim that switch and to have a bad attitude about it. But if you're really honest with yourselves and you look at your life, you recognize that your bad attitude has never accomplished anything good for you. I think you didn't get it. I think I'm going to repeat that one more time. You have to realize that throughout your entire life, when you had a bad attitude and complaining constantly, you have accomplished nothing good for yourself. Why do you hurt yourselves? Look at possibilities. I was asked this week, Pastor, we're going to have to paint the new worship facility inside. Here are the colors. I said, I don't care. Put something on it that looks good. Oh, no. I said, do you think we're going to split the church over colors? No, not that severe. So I eventually looked at them and said, you know, put on whatever I want. We can buy some LED lights. We can plaster some colors on it with lights if I don't like it. I consider that to be possibilities to show how good LED lights are. These are possibilities. Some of you say, oh, they sing some new worship songs. I don't know. I don't like that. I have a bad attitude about it. I'm not going to sing them. For me, let me tell you something. These are possibilities to learn some new attitudes and songs from God who work to you, correct? How many of you know if you sing the same song 50 times, you don't even think what you're singing? So we're going to introduce some new songs to you. You have to think, which sometimes in some of your cases hurts. But that's okay. That's also an exercise to see possibilities. How many of you know if you never want to have Alzheimer's, you better have to think fast and furious every day. Keep that thing active. So I help you. So you should be thankful. You should come to me and say, Pastor, you gave me a great possibility to keep that brain going. So don't tell me always, you're preaching so much, I can't get it. You remember that one of your favorite book is the book of Revelation, correct? Yeah. So one of them agrees. All the other ones are still in darkness. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. How many would have to say the last chapter in the bookshop should be a very important chapter? Because it is a well-known fact to research that people read only the first and the last chapter in a book and say they read it. So make sure you have two good chapters and forget the rest. Publish it. God has every book full of good advice. And the book of Revelation is the fascinating book we always say, I can't understand it. And yet, do you know where Revelation was written? In a labor camp. In a Roman labor camp. Where John, shackles on his hands and feet, had to sleep and then got released from the shackles to go and chisel granite out of an island. Not exactly a conducive environment for good attitude. Yet John was used by God to give us one of the greatest gifts in the New Testament. to give us a revelation of Jesus Christ after the ascension. And Paul later on said in one of his epistles, we knew him that way in the physical form when he walked with us, but we know him thus no longer. He is now the seated Lamb of God who rules and reigns in the hearts of the people. Amen. And yet, that gift was an impossibility without John being where he was. Next time God puts you into a hot spot, don't complain. You say, Pastor, you know what? You don't seem to understand. If I don't like it, I speak my mind. Sometimes I think the way we speak, we lost it. I mean the mind. We have to be so careful that we understand that our attitude is shaped and formed by God, if we let him, or shaped by our sinful nature. So the only two options. Sometimes I hear people who use a third option say, well, Pastor, you don't seem to understand. My circumstances, the way I had to grow up, made me this way. How many of you would like to know that's good for a psychology book, but it's garbage for the Bible? God made us new creatures. And if our environment we were growing up in is shaping us, and God's power is not reshaping you, my friend, you are still in control of your own life. All things have become new. I had a rotten attitude when I was a felon in God's sight. Now I can have a positive attitude because the Holy Spirit guides me and blesses me every day. We should be the happiest people on the planet. Joseph was in prison, but I tell you what, he was a pretty happy guy. Look when he came in. I read to you chapter 40, verses 4 through 8. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, dreamt a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. Question, was that dream given for them to know what the future holds, or was that dream given to these guys so God can use Joseph to minister effectively? Which answer do you think? Absolutely. Absolutely. Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad, bad attitude. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Let me ask you something. That's maybe a good question in prison when they can't run and punch you. But if you meet a person who has a very rotten attitude and you look at him with a grin on your face and say, why do you stink the whole world up with your attitude? This is not going well. Because the attitude is not conducive to your suggestion to change. Correct? So you and I have to be very careful how we approach that. Here simply, Joseph is addressing it because God sends him in that jail to minister. And in verse 8 it says, and they said to him, we each had dreamt a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, hey, do not interpretations belong? There is the key of ministering. Right there. There is the key of true ministering. Joseph could have said, remember, you already had dreams? God already interpreted those dreams. He shared it with his brothers and didn't come out good. That's why he was there. Correct? Joseph could have said, you know what? My former environment taught me not to touch dreams again. I had enough of that. That's why I'm here. Every time I interpret a dream, I'm in trouble. Forget it. Not so Joseph. He said, tell me, because dreams and interpretations belong to whom? He didn't say they belong to me. He could have said, you know what? God already gave me a lot of dreams, and he gave me the gift of interpretation. Tell it to me, I can tell you. That's never a good beginning. That's as a bad attitude as it is a cocky attitude. Joseph did it the right way. When you and I minister, we have to go with Joseph's way. These things belong to God. And since I'm a representative of God in this situation, tell me, maybe God gives us the answer. Tell us. So whenever you and I encounter somebody with such an attitude, do not dismiss it immediately. It is maybe a possibility God is giving you to point that person back to the one who's got the answers. Not to you, but to one who has the answers. Let me share with you something that maybe shocks the socks out of you, but it's true. You and I have not a single spiritual answer that will help anyone in this world unless it's rooted in God. Never tell me, I read the Bible, I know it all. You are so far off from God, you don't even know it. Always go and say, there is a possibility for me to be used by God and to shine the light brightly because this is God's doing. For that, you have to pull yourselves back. Because, listen, my friend, we are the one who dimming the light, not God. There is not room for two on the throne. It's got to be God. Great things, my friend, happens when you do it that way. Great things happen in that prison. Great things happen, I told, in the island of Patmos. Great things happen in the jail where Paul was sitting because they removed themselves, had a good attitude about it, saw the possibilities of what God is doing and were used by God. Still impacting millions of people today because they had the right attitude. How many of you would like to have on the tombstone, these men always had a bad attitude? You don't like that on your tombstone? Well, then change. We are tempted to put it on. You can engrave anything today, you know? I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to learn that there's another thing Joseph was able to see. Because Joseph had a good, healthy, not complaining attitude, Joseph was able to become a candidate for great spiritual maturity. As you find yourselves in the book of Hebrews, let me share with you quickly. No one of us has come into the kingdom of God and is spiritually mature. How many of you would agree with that statement? The Bible says we come as babes. We get first the milk, then we're going to have to grow up. That's a big challenge. We have bad attitudes because God wants us to grow up. How many of you have ever raised children? Yeah. Well, let me see your hands. When they turn about two, have you ever heard of the terrible two? That's when we're about ready to sell them all, correct? They have bad attitudes because they refuse to grow up. They don't want to change. Up to this point, you have done almost anything as a parent. Now you want to teach them a little bit to do some things on their own. Would you pick that up, please? Ah! There it goes, you know. They don't want that. They just don't want to mature. Do you know what? In the spiritual world, we have the same thing. I tell you guys, come on, grow up. I don't care how long you sit in church. Your years of sitting in a church has absolutely nothing to do with maturity. Do you know? You knowing the Bible has absolutely nothing to do with maturity. No. For that, if you tell me that your knowledge of the Bible has something to do with maturity, then you are greatly mistaken because my computer's got it all memorized. By a push of a button, I get it. And it has nothing to do with maturity. Maturity has something to do with you and I being in the hands of God in unpleasant circumstances and situations, and He's changing me into a better person, maturing me because a positive attitude in what God can do and trusting God will make me see God using His word applied to my life and make me the person He wants me to be. There's no other way to become mature. I made once a person very nervous. I was a young Christian, and I devoured the book. not because I wanted to know for me to go and quote scriptures. I just got to know the God of the universe, and I wanted to know who this God is and how he works. And I knew in his book, he tells me. So I read that book, and I devoured that book, and I devoured that book. And so I had one day, I can't remember how many years it was after I became a born-again believer, I had a discussion, my wife was involved in it, with a preacher. When I made that statement, that made him furious. I hope he forgave me. He had a very bad attitude, for sure. I told him, I said, just because you are 30 years a preacher doesn't mean that you're more mature than a guy who is a year in the Lord. Boy, did I hit a nerve. And I explained to him that if somebody spends 5 hours a day with the Lord over 1 year period, and the preacher who plays the game and spends 3 hours a week to prepare a sermon but doesn't spend any time with the Lord, who do you think knows the Lord better? See, everybody can put sermons together. That's not difficult. Go on the internet, you find it. Everybody can do a Sunday school. There's plenty of material out there. But it takes a person with a godly positive attitude that transfers the spiritual truth to another spiritual creature. Or else all you did is turning a thought into somebody else's mind. That's all you do. That's called intellectualism. How many of you know God is not a man? He's a spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit. Not in knowledge, in spirit and truth. So let's read Hebrews chapter 12. All of you are there? I gave you a little time to get there, so you have a very good attitude about it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In that race, my friends, there are hurdles, there are circumstances which we don't like, but God matures us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You cannot look at Jesus and at yourself at the same time. You have an eye problem. I mean literal eye problem. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know Jesus looked forward to the cross? That's what he says. He endured everything man could throw at him because his attitude was right. Look what I am going to be able to get done to glorify my Father. One day, I will not just be on the throne myself, but I will take all those who have believed in me with me. What did that do? Rulership for Jesus. That's why the suffering of Jesus is directly connected where he's sitting today. On the throne. You and my bad circumstances and our suffering with a good attitude will prepare us and mature us for rulership. It's that simple. And listen, there's not a single thing you and I will ever experience which somebody had not already experienced before us. So you're not the only one. So don't have self-pity. That's not going to get you anywhere. Why is that so important? Mark these words. Problems, difficult people, difficult circumstances are gifts of God. Did you hear me? Problems, difficult people, difficult circumstances are gifts given to his children by God to make us better and more mature. Don't avoid them. Don't try to escape them. Have your eyes on Jesus. Do we have all the answers? No. Don't come to me and say, Pastor, but my situation is so, I need an answer from you. No, I don't have the answers, but I know the one who does. And if we do not see them as gifts coming towards us, we will dim the light. Because what's the difference between you and me when we constantly complain about everything? What's the difference being a pagan out there and a Christian when we constantly complain and nothing is right? There is no difference. We should be a difference. One of walks in light, we walk in light. Others walk in darkness. Let them walk in darkness. But we have to bring the light. Why is that so important to know? Because our character, which God works on it, should never be altered by circumstances. Never. Listen, Joseph was not concerned about his reputation. He was already in jail. How many of you know once you're in jail, you don't have a good reputation? Your record doesn't look too good, you know? But what is reputation? Reputation is what other people say about you. And how many of you have ever heard, coming full circle, people saying not always the best about you? Yeah. Seen that? That's not important. Important is how your attitude is towards it. There are a lot of people in this world that will never agree with you. Get used to it. Your reputation is worthless. What is important is your character. Reputation is what people say. Character is what the angels proclaim before the throne of God, who you truly are. That's character. I don't care what people say. I care what God hears in heaven about me. And for that, we need to grow up and mature. We need to have a good positive about it. Joseph had a very bad reputation, but God was working on his character. And character never changes because of circumstances. Circumstances should never make our character. Have you ever read in the Bible that God brings them to shape and form us, to make us stronger, and to change our negative attitude into a good attitude? God uses difficulties of life to demonstrate to the world our real character. Difficulties do not make our character. They simply reveal our character. I know those of you who go to the Gospel of Matthew, would you go with me quickly to chapter 5? Let's read verses 16. Actually, no. Let's start in verse 14 and end in 16. Chapter 5. Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world. How many of you would have to say amen to that? Amen. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Or I would say in there, somebody who doesn't touch the dimmer switch should lie brightly. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. The basket in the old days was the dimmer switch. It was. That's how they dimmed the light. That's how I came up with the idea. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Is that what your Bible says? What does it say? Oh, and glorify your Father in heaven. So when you and I are out in this world with a bad attitude, we don't glorify the Father. If we are out there with a good attitude, we let the light shine and it brings glory to the Father. People will say in this world, how is it possible for that person to get so much burdened with and they still can walk with such a good attitude? And the answer is God. The God whom I serve, he makes all this happen. It brings glory and honor to him. Challenges for you to take with you this week. You are the light of the world. What was the first song we were singing this morning? Oh, let your light shine. You saw your brain is not gone entirely yet. That's good. Let your light shine. When Christ shines in, we shine out. wherever we are in this world, my friend, your attitude will actually permeate the environment you're walking in. Let it be a good one. Let the Father get glorified the way you live, the way you think, the way you act, the way you interact. And let's see what God is doing through people like this. He did phenomenal things through Joseph's life. He can do phenomenal things through you and my life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Awesome and mighty are you. We only get glimpses and snippets of your goodness and your mercy, and how eager you are to shape us and mold us and make us mature, and how powerful your Holy Spirit is to penetrate us, even in the darkest circumstances. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your greatest gift, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts you send our ways, which we normally don't appreciate when we are in it, but they're gifts given by you. Thank you, Lord, for that. May we see it with eyes clearly. May we embrace it as our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And may we bring glory and honor to you and you alone in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, Amen. Amen.